Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, bring us the word of Christ, that we may be fed by him and know that with him there is no more hunger or thirsting, for we have eternal life in him. Bless us then by your Spirit as we open our ears and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, it amazes me how God chooses things ahead of time and how it is today that we will be having the opportunity to be in St. Petri to consider later this afternoon a conversation on the way forward and what this means for our church. And as we take that opportunity, he's provided for us two texts today that significantly speak to us, both of being fed by Christ so that we have unity and maturity, and how he's managed to do that. One thing you cannot ever take away, and that is the fact that Jesus always cares for his church. He loves his church. Doesn't matter what age it has been in. We didn't hear the reading from the Old Testament, but at that time, his people, Israel, he loved them. Even though with less than 2 months out of being taken out of slavery to Egypt, and they grumbled and complained. It would have been better for us to be back in slavery and have our meat pots. Yet he cared for them. And he provided for them food to eat, to know that he is the Lord. And he was testing them to see if they would follow him. And he's always fed his people. And we heard from the gospel reading the account where he fed a group of people. Not a small group. 5,000 men, plus women, children. At best, I estimate that to be somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people, possibly more. And there when he had fed them and he'd taken care of them, he sent the disciples across in the only boat that was there. He sent them across the lake. He was not in the boat and they saw that. And then later that night when the storm, the winds were against the boat, he walked on the water to be with them, to calm their fears, to assure them that he is their Lord. And when he reached the other side, the crowds who had recognized that he wasn't there with them, and that must have been something. They knew he wasn't in that boat, and yet 15,000 plus, looking around, looking for one man, they noticed he's not there. That'd be like going to a local football game and trying to recognize one person back in the day in a crowd of that many people, maybe watching Larry play. So it was there. They realized he wasn't there. How did he get to the other side? And they walked. No, they didn't. You read the text. There were boats there from Tarshish that had arrived. They got into the boats. They were looking for Jesus. And when they got to the other side, they found him there. There was some interesting words he said to them. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. There were some words here that jumped out to me in reading this text. This food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Well, that's all very well to say to the crowd, I'm going to give you this bread of life, because Jesus was with them, the very bread of life. He was there to give it to them personally. But what about you and me? What about every person from the time since he's ascended into heaven? How do we have the Son of Man give us himself, the bread of life? And that leads us to our text in Ephesians 4. For there, the Apostle Paul was talking about quite clearly how this Jesus who had ascended was also the one who descended. But when he ascended, he took a host of captives with him and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to people so that he, Jesus, would continue to feed people with himself, with the bread of life, that bread of life which lasts forever. And so we're told quite clearly that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now the apostles he gave, they are infallible teachers of all Christendom, and their teaching is authoritative for all Christian teaching. Those apostles had set requirements. They had to be with Jesus from the time of his ministry right through to his death and see that, and they also had to be with him after his resurrection. We get a clear description of this in the early chapters of Acts. And these apostles, they're one-offs. The only one that could be added to their number, as one he called himself untimely born, was the Apostle Paul himself, whom the risen Lord appeared personally to him and allowed the Apostle Paul to enter into heaven and see things which were so great in humility he could not speak of them. So the church was given the apostles and also prophets. The prophets who were given special revelation for special purposes. We can think of Peter, the apostle, going to Cornelius' house, and there he'd gone, but he'd had a vision about a sheet coming down with all this forbidden food on this sheet to show that things have changed. God has changed what's going on for his people. He's spoken. And not only are these foods not forbidden, but Peter was being used by God to bring two different groups of people together, both Jews and Gentiles. And so the prophets. And then the evangelists, you might think of Philip. Philip, who was used by God to go to an Ethiopian in a chariot, who was reading Isaiah 53, the text of the suffering servant, and he did not understand what he was reading. And Philip explained to him that all this pointed to Jesus, the suffering servant, who's come to shed his blood for you. And the evangelist work of Philip had such a response by the work of the Spirit in that Ethiopian's heart that he said, "Stop the chariot, what's to stop me being baptized?" And we know that Philip was caught up, he was taken immediately out of that context from visible sight from the Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian continued, a man of influence. He continued because where he worked in Ethiopia, he was in the queen's house, and he carried the gospel of Christ into Ethiopia. And then we're told that there are also pastors and teachers. Now in the Greek, you read this, it's clear that the definite article applies to both terms. One definite article, two terms. The pastor or shepherd is also a teacher. It's the teaching office of the church. And you can see this in Titus. Titus was one who had heard the word from Paul, the apostle. He had hands laid on him, placed into the office of the ministry that Christ had established to continue the teaching of the apostles by which Christ would feed his people. And so Jesus has always cared for his people. He's always cared for the world. He's always cared for you. And that teaching is to bring clarity around who Jesus is and what he's done to save you from sin and death. And not just you. Me too, thankfully, and for all people. He's laid down his life into death for that. And so Jesus continues to feed a food himself with us that won't spoil and endures to eternal life. Now, as we look at that, we can see that even though this has taken place in us, this feeding, there is a life to be lived. And the Apostle Paul speaks of that, of how we are to endure in our Christian faith until we're taken by God into eternal life. And this is really important for us and quite significant. If I think about this afternoon, I don't know about you, but it saddens me that we have a church that is divided as it is. It saddens me that we have a church which disagrees on apostolic teaching on the office of whether men or women should be ordained, and that we are not prepared to stay under the feeding of Christ in his word to continue to work through it. And it saddens me because of what it brings, the emotion, the feeling towards each other in the body of Christ. And also, it saddens me what it does for our lack of witness to the world. And so, these words of the Apostle Paul coming into Ephesians 4 are really pertinent for us. They apply for us. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And he sets a high bar. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And he's talking about the relationship we are to have with each other, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we will need to cultivate a deep sense of one's own smallness and insignificance. I'm aware of that in several ways. I've mentioned before that my name Paul means small. So I'm reminded all the time with my own name of the reality of my own smallness, which is particularly helpful when my pride makes me bigger than what I really am. And in terms of insignificance, when I think about God, what am I? But to be completely in that place of gentleness too. Gentleness, loving submission. Loving submission that is patient. And I love patience because patience is actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. The first four fruits of the Holy Spirit active in us. Patience to give to others. Giving to them, even if they're provoking us. Patience to willingly listen, to willingly consider what they're saying, and then in due diligence to receive what they're saying and to respond by looking back into God's word and saying, Lord, does this sit? Is this what you're saying? And we are to do this, to endure these things, even if there's unpleasant oddities with each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've all got some sort of unpleasant odysseys, I believe. Some of them can be quite humorous, but some of them can be very hard to take. And so the Apostle Paul's reminding us here, despite the oddities, you are one in Christ. How do you love each other? You might have heard the term, you know, you can like your enemies, but you don't have to love them. Or love your enemies, or you don't have to like them. I think that's the one, isn't it? Love your enemies, but you don't have to like them. Well, I'm sorry, I just don't see that from God's perspective. Because that's not how Jesus is with us. He loved his enemies, and he kept loving them. It wasn't a case of he loved us, and he didn't have to like us. You see, his love changes us to love and love. So I can accept the oddities that another person has and still work with them, to be with them. And that in itself stretches me out of my comfort zone. And it keeps me focused on the humility that only God can give. And all this, he says, is our way of life, so that we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He's given that first of all in the word of the cross. That's the unity that we all have in Christ through his forgiving blood. And it's in that blood that we are all one already. But it is a case of keeping this unity, and to do that, we need to rely on God's teaching. We need to remain under the Word together, to work with the Word together. And if we have a difference of opinion, not to leave the Word, as unfortunately I'm hearing that the Way Forward is saying, that we can have two opposing teachings in the church and still be together. I don't see that as unity by the Spirit. And we were working a lot more diligently together when we were, with our difference of opinion, difference of position, still remaining under the Word to talk about it, to work through it from Christ. For when we're fed with Christ, he will continue to bring unity and maturity. And when we don't do that, what do we see? Dissension, disagreement, and division. And so what do we have going forward? I don't know. I cannot see what's going to come for us in any direction. I cannot foretell. That hasn't been given to me of God to say. But I do know this, hope is not lost. For as with one body, listening to how Jesus keeps feeding us through the teaching office of the church, through those pastors and teachers, their job is to bring God's word in its truth, to equip his people for works of service, to equip you and me for works of service, so that we may all be built up in Christ, until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God becomes mature. You see, just as Jesus wanted his people to be strong in faith, to remain following him, and to receive eternal life, so does the Apostle Paul. And he wants this teaching from God's word, the apostolic teaching, to be at work in us so the Spirit can lead us, so that we're not tossed to and fro. We're not like infants who have only received partial learning. And we're not carried away by people who are cunning, crafty, and use deceitful scheming. So how are we going to do that? It's going to take careful listening and the prayer for the Holy Spirit to give us ears to go to God's word and discern, Lord, let's test what's being said against your word. For God always speaks truth. And then, doing this, we will be given the joy of speaking the truth in love, to grow, to become in every respect mature in Christ the head, but to regard each other with a love that he has for us. For it's in him that we're all joined together. It's in him that he has given particular tasks, particular gifts, and particular acts of service, that we can be joined together in him to build one another up in love, so that each part of the body can actually do its work. It's very challenging, isn't it, to hear this message and to know where we're at. I'm a realist, and I think it's okay to feel what we feel. It's okay for you and for me to feel sad where we're at the moment as a church. But it's also very much okay to take great joy in Christ, that he has not left or forsaken us, because he still kept his word here. He's still bringing us life. He's still gathering us together in his presence to remove our sin and to bless us in worship. He is still giving us his very body and blood in the Holy Supper to strengthen our faith in him. And we will need that. We will need it so that his Spirit can lead us in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear God's word, for what Jesus has said is true, that it is him himself, Jesus, who gave the bread of God, that bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's given that life to you. Hold him precious. Hold him dearly. love to be in his word and let him guide, direct, care and love you so that you can love each other. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.